And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Tommy Taylor died in the Bexar County Jail just 6 hours after turning himself in August 21st, 2012. Taylor had a history of run-ins with the law and acute drug abuse. Everyone agrees Taylor should have been screened and given some medical attention after he was admitted into the jail, but that didn't happen. Instead, he was placed in isolation and apparently ignored until he was discovered dead. What happened after that was a clumsy attempt at a cover-up by the jail guards, and then what happened to Tommy Taylor appears to have been the result of a sloppy operations and mismanagement at the jail. We're going to be talking with Michael Barajas of the San Antonio Current about his investigative article into the death of Tommy Taylor and issues of staffing at the Bexar County Jail. Also, we're going to have on the line Paul Berry, spokesperson for the Sheriff's Office, and we want to hear from you. Do you have firsthand knowledge about what goes on inside the jail? Please give us a call, 614-8980. You could also email the source at tpr.org or go to the website and comment there at tpr.org. Let's welcome our guest, Michael Barajas, from The Current.
Thanks, Dave. Pleasure to be
here. And also Paul Berry, spokesperson for the Sheriff's Office. You there, sir?
I am. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us, sir. Right now what I want to do is I want to talk to Michael and kind of give us more about, first we have to establish this did not happen under the current sheriff administration, under Sheriff Pomerleau.
No, it didn't. It happened under Sheriff Amadeo Ortiz, who Pomerleau defeated in November. And so the reason I think this jail death is particularly, I guess, important is because the death happened under Sheriff Ortiz, and we all know about the problems
people may not know.
Well, so problems of, sky high suicide rates, continually battling with Bexar County commissioners over whether or not the jail was appropriately staffed or funded.
Problems of giving it a certified.
Exactly. Problems with meeting, Texas Commission on Jail Standards, certification problems with inmates being screened appropriately, problems with inmates being checked, appropriately according to those mandated checks. And so this death happened in August 2012. That was, shortly before Sheriff Ortiz left the office. Now, the investigation into this particular death appears to have happened under Ortiz. It wasn't until Sheriff Pomerleau took office, as far as I can tell, that serious action was taken to correct it.
Right. People pretty admit that things have changed under the new
administration.
Absolutely,
and that's mentioned in the article. I think that's really important
okay, too. So now let's go back, dial back, and take a look at Tommy Taylor, who he was and what happened to him. He had a lot of problems with drug abuse. He has had run-ins with the law.
Yeah.
Why does he turn himself into a Bexar County jail?
Well, so as far as I can tell, he had been bouncing from treatment to treatment. He had a history of drug abuse, as is mentioned in the article. He had tried to do this 6-month treatment option. It was some facility out in Arizona that his family had known about. It came highly recommended. They wanted to send him there, and they did for a couple months. But unfortunately, he had probation in 3 separate counties in Texas due to mostly drug related offenses. So probation came calling and said, "Look, you're going to be in violation of your probation if you don't come back."
So he
to
couldn't
Texas.
Do rehab in one of these.
Well, he couldn't find long term rehab. He was looking for something longer than 30 days because, according to his family and his friends, this addiction, it was mostly prescription pain meds,
opiates and, type stuff.
Exactly.
And so he turns himself in because he wants to do away with the probation.
Exactly.
So as he shows
he
up,
he wanted to get court ordered rehab, but his probation officers apparently just couldn't work it out, and so he got fed up with it. He just wanted to finish off his time.
Wanted to turn his life around. I got to get this probation stuff out of the way. Shows up at the doorstep at the Bexar County Jail.
Exactly.
Says, "Lock me up. Let me do my time."
Yep.
And so I can then go to rehab. And he also thought going to jail would give him an opportunity to clean up also.
True.
So he shows up. So the circumstances surrounding his death, there's no signs of being beaten or anything like that?
Not that we can tell. I mean, one of the EMS reports notes some questionable markings on his face, but that could, that could be from the position that they found him in. His head was on the floor. He was sort of in a kneeling position.
But there was toxicology. There was
a tox screen. Exactly. There was a tox screen. There was an autopsy report. And the medical examiner's office ruled that it was from methadone toxicity mixed with what's called called cardiomyopathy, which can be a condition from long-term drug abuse. So, but methadone overdose is what they ruled it as.
Okay, so what should they have done that they didn't do? I mean, because his family is suing?
His family has sued. They sued last week, but they put Bexar County on notice months ago that they were going to file a lawsuit. They finally did it last week. They are arguing that Tommy Taylor should have been screened, that he should have had a medical screening. And, you know, it's common practice. It's supposed to happen. As far as I can tell, with all of the records that were provided to the family, they asked for the medical screening forms that ask for, you know, history of drug abuse, whether or not he has slurred speech, whether or not he's exhibiting signs or symptoms of being.
Because, I mean, he's going in there trying to clean up, and that's really tough on a body. It's tough on your system.
I mean, you might have people that come in that are either, you know, suicidal. You might have people that come in that are detoxing. You might have people that come in, like Tommy, that are overdosing. And so that screening is supposed to happen. As far as I can tell, he was in Bexar County Jail once before, and this medical screening form exists. You know, the family has it.
So, but he ends up in isolation because
it didn't happen this time. The screening didn't happen.
He ends up in isolation. And he's not checked on as according to procedures,
yeah,
right?
And according to the jail's policy and procedures, and this was a point I kept going back and forth on this. The jail says that it's every 30 minutes for isolated inmates. I looked at their own policies and procedures, and it says that, you know, inmates isolated in holding cells and also in detox cells, that those checks should happen no later than every 15 minutes. So he was there, as far as we can tell, for at least an hour without anybody checking on him in this holding cell. And it seems to be at that time that that Tommy died.
So they went in, they saw him, that he had died, and the jail guards at the time under the previous administration tried to doctor the books.
Well, and so here's what I've been told by this jailer, Ernesto Flores, this former jailer, who has since been fired from the department. His case has been sent to the Bexar County DA's office. They say that they're going to bring it to a grand jury for possible indictment. He says that he just happened to be next to the logbook in that part of booking where the checks are supposed to be marked. And as soon as somebody calls a code and they notice that there's a body in the cell, the supervisor in the unit says, oh, crap, we didn't do it. We didn't have time. Hey, make sure the books are right. And so he did. I don't argue anywhere the piece that he should have done that. You know, I don't think that's the point. The point is that it was so commonplace for them to do this that he doesn't appear to have even thought twice about it. And I've talked to other, you know, former and current jail guards that say the same thing.
So making the books look right means he indicates
that
in the log
were done.
That all the proper checks were done and that they were not negligent in looking after, Tommy Taylor and allowing him to, you know, die in the cell alone.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so we're going to get more on this. We're going to bring Paul Berry in, spokesperson from the Bexar County Jail, talk about how things have changed at the Bexar County Jail and what the future holds and more on this investigative report. Michael Barajas from the San Antonio Current hitting the stands today. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Bexar County Jail today. With me in the studio, Michael Barajas, a reporter for the San Antonio Current, on the stands today, an investigative piece about the death of Tommy Taylor, died at Bexar County Jail August 21st, 2012, and about some allegations that the guards didn't do what they were supposed to do and that he should have received some medical treatment, and the lack of medical treatment somehow contributed to his death. Today, Bexar County announced the sheriff's, Susan Pomelo, announced that Raul Banasco will be the new Bexar County Jail Administrator. And with me on the line to talk about that, Paul Berry, spokesperson for the Bexar County Jail. So who is Raul Banasco, and what is he going to be doing with the jail? What are your expectations?
Well, we expect Mr. Banasco to take this jail to the next level. We were very pleased that he accepted our offer. As you may know, that was one of the first things that Sheriff Pomelo did when she came to office, was to open up applications for that position, and we reviewed many applications. We had a handful of qualified candidates. Mr. Banasco and one other candidate came to San Antonio, and the leadership team, we interviewed them, and Mr. Banasco came out on top, and we're looking forward to having him here.
He is not from the system that we have now. He is he's worked in other large county jails.
County jails, state jails, and private jails. He has a vast background, extremely qualified, and I would say his credentials will be of the such that our jail will greatly benefit.
Previous administrations have had kind of this policy of hiring from within. You're going a different direction. Do you think that that's why some of the problems have occurred at the Bexar County Jail, is that they kept hiring from within and they needed to bring in some new eyes?
Well, Dave, it would be inappropriate for me to comment why there might have been problems in the past. My focus and the focus of the sheriff is to make sure if there are currently problems that they are fixed and we move forward and operate in a much better manner. This sheriff, as you know, and has been made very clear, did not do things as they have been done in the past. You're correct. In the past, people were promoted from within to the top, and they had law enforcement or correctional backgrounds, but they might not have had backgrounds in the different areas that they were working in. This sheriff brought in three civilians, to including myself, to manage different areas of the jail that didn't necessarily have to do with actually working the jail. And then she also brought in some law enforcement officers and kept some people that were here that had showed great prowess in their jobs while here at the Bexar County Jail.
In Michael Barajas' story in the San Antonio Current outlined some of the problems that have occurred at the jail under the previous administration. One of them was this turnover of so many jail guards. 10 a week was a statistic that he cited. Mandatory overtime, 8-hour shift, and doing another 8-hour shift, sometimes 3 8-hour shifts in a row. How has that changed?
Well, first of all, let me just say I read Michael's story today, and I found it excellent. I've been working with current reporters for many years, and I have found some not to be nearly as good as Michael. This story was well researched and done. The only exception I have with the story, and this is more my fault than it is Michael's, because I was trying to gather information as quickly as I could. It does appear that inmate Taylor did have a medical assessment when he did come to the jail that night. And it's called a medical assessment. It was referred to as a screening. I'm not sure what the difference is, but I'm looking at a report here that at 19:57 hours, he did have a medical assessment. This morning, I went on a tour of the booking area. I've been down there before, but I had people explaining to me today what exactly happened that night. And he did go through a questionnaire where they were asking him if he was suicidal, had he had any drug use, and that is the routine medical assessment. And from what I could gather this morning on my tour is that he didn't self-report that he had taken some substance earlier that night. That I guess the autopsy came back and said, but everything else in the story which was very moving, a story of a very troubled young man and a jail that was working under some very stressful conditions at the time.
Now, and you you're going by a report that was put out that night that Tommy Taylor died, and we know now that you can't always believe those reports that they would call pencil whipping was what is explained in Mr. Barajas' article. How much credibility are those reports have?
Well, the report that I'm looking at also questions the validity of those logbooks. So, this seems to be a pretty – this is more of a statement report and not necessarily saying what was done. It's more of a timeline. But this report doesn't give any validity to the logbooks. And the time checks. This is just talking about what happened along the way. But as I went through today, when you come into the jail, you're usually brought from someplace else, from another facility or the magistrate's office or another jail, and you come with your medical records in tow. And And when you go to the booking area, you have those. You still go through this. It's a verbal checklist. They go down a list and they ask you some questions, and they do that before you're even booked into the jail. I watched it happen today. There's actually three stations where this happens. If anybody self-identifies with current drug use or they identify anything comes up during that time that says that they might be suicidal, they're immediately placed into a mental not a facility, but a desk where a mental health person will talk to them about what's going on with them. Apparently that night, and again, I wasn't here, so I don't know, but what I've been able to determine is that night that Mr. Taylor just didn't self-report his situation. Now, I also understand that I read about the disruption that I guess Mr. Taylor caused in Mr. Barajas' story today, and apparently he was placed in a single isolation unit in the booking area, and I saw that cell this morning, and I did notice that there was a call for help button, and so, you know, I don't know if Mr. Taylor passed out. I don't think any of us know. I think it's a tragic situation with a tragic story of Mr. Taylor and also a booking area that was working under very stressful conditions at the time.
And what about video surveillance in those facilities, maybe in that cell? Anything there?
Well, we do have video surveillance in the booking area. Texas Commission on Jail Standards does not allow for video surveillance in specific cells for privacy reasons.
Now, the Bexar County Jail, when Susan Parmalo took over, that the guard who signed off on that log that has been shown to be falsified, he was dismissed, and now we're looking at criminal charges. What is his name, Flores?
Flores.
Yeah, I can't discuss the criminal charges. That would have to come from the district attorney's office. I can say that he admitted to falsifying records. And that is a reason for punishment right there, and which is why he's no longer with the Bexar County Jail.
And he says that he did so under orders from his sergeant. Or so, is there follow-up, an investigation?
There are multiple investigations going on right now. This one was fairly easy because he admitted the falsifying of the documents.
Now, since Sheriff Parmalo has taken over on January 1 after her election, there have been other inmates who have been booked into Bexar County Jail who have died while in the custody, right?
Since Sheriff Parmalo has been here, there have been two inmates that have died while in custody, correct?
That would be Antonio Obregon and Alvin Boyd County.
That sounds correct. Those names do ring a bell. And I got to tell you, you know, when somebody comes to our jail, it is our not only our job, it's our duty to make sure we provide for their safety and security. And when that doesn't happen, I can tell you this sheriff takes immediate action, looks into it, and I don't know how it was done in the past, but in my job, I make sure that I'm the first to announce it. I haven't received a call from somebody saying, "Hey, we've heard a word from a jail worker or inside sources that there was a death in the jail." I immediately announce it because this administration has made it clear we're going to be transparent about what goes on. I'm making no excuses or trying to defend what happened with the previous administration. What I can tell you is that with this administration, if there are falsification of records, if something does happen, we're going to announce it. I know some reporters have tried to say, look at all the problems that are going on with the jail now. I wouldn't say that there's any more problems than there have been in the past. It's just that this sheriff, myself, and this administration are self-reporting those issues under a cloak of transparency instead of a cloak of darkness.
So Michael Barajas, reporter for The Current, tell me about what you've discovered about staffing levels at the Bexar County Jail.
Well, you know, going back to one thing that Paul just said, though, I would like to know more about the medical records that he's saying do exist, because I have seen what was given to Tommy Taylor's family before litigation was filed, before, you know, any legal steps were taken, and those records simply weren't given to them. So if they exist, I'd like to know why they weren't given to him, A. And B, I have, you know, other sources inside the jail saying that, no, this was not done. This medical screening was not done. So I would like to know, I would like to see what exactly that assessment was, what he was asked, because that also goes against Tommy Taylor's last, you know, stint in the Bexar County Jail, where he did readily admit to his drug use. He readily admitted to his problems with addiction. It's all in the record. So I would like to know why there's such a departure.
That was a time before this when he turned in. I want to make clear, there were two different times.
He had been arrested.
He had been arrested, come from the magistrate's office, and all of his drug use and stuff were on a form that came in with him. This time, none of those things came in with him.
But why is there any reason to think that he was any less compliant when he was there of his own volition? He turned himself in.
I'm not saying that there is any reason to say. I'm just, Mike, you and I, I think we get along.
Right.
I have a lot of respect for what you do here. I'm just trying to tell you what I'm seeing.
So let's talk about staffing levels really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I know that there is a dispute about what is the optimum staffing level for Bexar County Jail. You're looking to increase the number, certainly less than what we had, the objective was for the past administration, but you're looking for more than what the Bexar County Commissioners Court wants.
Well, what happened with this sheriff is she put together a team from people here at the jail. And the county brought together a group of folks from the county manager's office, and they worked on jail staffing numbers. And for the first time in many, many, many years, they came to an agreement on how many people should be working at the jail. It's my understanding in the past, the sheriff would say, we need this many. The county said, nope, you only get this many. And that was the number. But this sheriff, along with David Smith, the county manager, they got together, they had a team come together, and they came up together with a number that I want to say is in the 850 range. We are not there yet. We currently have detention officer classes going on right now. We will have concurrent classes going on, which is another thing that I understand hasn't happened in the past. And so we hope by the end of this year we will be at the full staffing level. There will be no more need for mandatory overtime because our staffing levels will be where they should be. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have overtime, but at least the overtime will be manageable. And so right now we believe we're on a path to get to where we need to be with this jail. And we just recently had an inspection from the Texas Department on Jail Standards, and this jail received the highest score that it has ever received.
All right, well, congratulations.
Are we where we need to be? No, but are we on the right track? I think we are.
Okay, all right, congratulations on your outcome on that inspection. Paul Berry, spokesperson for the Bexar County Jail Sheriff's Department, and we have Michael Barajas from the San Antonio Current. This is the source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
In Washington, I'm Jamie McIntyre. President Obama today chose his UN ambassador to be his next national security advisor.